My fellow plebs, River is setting a new standard in Bitcoin. At river.com, you'll pay zero fees when you dollar cost average. Truly the best way to build your Bitcoin wealth. All Bitcoin at River is held in secure cold storage with 100% full reserves. There's no need to wonder what's happening behind the scenes. Your Bitcoin is your Bitcoin to withdraw at any time. Additionally, River lets you make Bitcoin payments via the Lightning Network, offers a Lightning integration for developers, and allows you to mine Bitcoin directly to your River account. River has a level of service that is unheard of in this industry, including phone support, private client advisors, and the ability to designate beneficiaries to inherit your Bitcoin wealth. River has become the premium name in Bitcoin that anyone can easily access. Sure, you have a place to buy Bitcoin, but have you tried River? See and feel the difference at river.com and the River iOS app, the preferred partner of Bitcoin Magazine. My fellow plebs, today's podcast is also brought to you by Moon Mortgage. As the world moves increasingly towards the mainstream adoption of Bitcoin and other digital assets, Moon Mortgage makes it possible to materialize your assets into real estate. Through the collateralization of mortgages with Bitcoin and other digital assets, Moon Mortgage will be launching lending solutions to allow investors to easily leverage their assets to purchase investments in owner-occupied property. Moon Mortgage's crypto mortgage will be launching soon for home buyers in Texas, Florida, and Colorado, and will also be open to investors in most states across the U.S. for investment properties. Welcome to the future of mortgages. Visit moonmortgage.com today to register and learn more. Moon Mortgage Residential is registered with the NMLS under number 235334. Today's episode is brought to you by Gordon Law Group. If you've tried to do Bitcoin taxes yourself, you know how complicated it is. You can spend hours and hours going through your transactions and researching tax forms, and you're still not sure if it's right or if the IRS will come after you. Or maybe you're so intimidated by Bitcoin taxes that you don't even know where to start. Gordon Law Group can help. Ditch the spreadsheets and feel confident with a bulletproof Bitcoin tax return. They can help with IRS payment plans, and they also provide a full range of legal and accounting services for Bitcoin and digital asset startups. Get your taxes done right the first time with the original Bitcoin and digital asset tax pros. Go to GordonLawLTD.com/BTC. As a bonus, they'll send you the ultimate Bitcoin tax guide for free. That's GordonLawLTD.com/BTC.
Good morning, everyone. How's it going, Carly? How's it going, Katie? How's it going, Jessica?
Hey, what's up?
Good morning.
Good morning, Bitcoin.
Yeah, we're okay, cool. So we got everybody up here, I think. I'm not sure if anybody else from our side is joining. I think Chris Smith might be joining, so we'll just give it like maybe one more minute and then we'll kick this thing off. Jessica, Katie, how are you guys doing today?
Doing good. It's actually kind of gloomy in Austin this morning, but it's warming up a little bit. Yesterday was pretty cold.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. What's the countdown on the conference so far? Is it like, what, 26 days left?
Yeah, I think we're 25 days, I want to say, right, Chris?
Actually, 23 days, unfortunately. I wish I had an extra few days, to be honest, but it's going well.
See, I don't even know what day it is, so that's why I was like, I'm not sure, but I just know that there's no days off, and I'm working all my waking hours. But it's exciting. This is the fun time.
For sure. Yeah, and it's always, if only we had a few more days.
Exactly.
Just two more days.
Exactly. But yeah, no, super excited for the conference. It's coming up fast. It's going to be here before we know it. And, you know, May 18th through the 20th in Miami is just going to be such a blast. I know you and Jessica are coming. We're super excited to have you joining us. I guess we'll just go ahead and kick things off. So yeah, thanks for hopping on with Good Morning Bitcoin this morning. I'm excited to chat with you guys and just learn a little bit more about what you do and Plan B Passport. I also want to talk about your recent article, Katie, about El Salvador. So I kind of like to treat the spaces in a sense that the people maybe listening don't know who you are, what you do. So I was thinking that'd be a great place to start, Katie and Jessica, if you just want to take a minute to you know, do a quick intro, who you are, what you do. And I'm also really curious too, Katie, and Jessica both, I don't think I've heard your, you know, backstory of, you know, how you got into this space. So I'd love to hear that as well.
Absolutely. Let's go down the rabbit hole. So I'm Katie. I'm a CEO of Plan B Passport. And the way I ended up in this position is I'm an immigrant myself. When I was 21, I moved to the United States from Russia. And interestingly enough, my immigration lawyer abandoned me at the moment I made the payments. She just stopped responding to my emails, answering my phone calls. So I had to self-represent my U.S. immigration case. And that was an extraordinary ability case for EB1 program because I was a professional athlete at the moment and captain of national team in Russia. So I succeeded and got my green card in the United States as a professional athlete. But that journey just made me realize, like, first of all, I learned so much through my experience just going through immigration by myself. Not many people do that. And that's just a huge learning curve. So that was the first step into this journey. And then I always like to say how, just like in the movie Slumdog Millionaire, throughout my whole life, I had little kicks directing me towards this specific business in this specific industry, like a micro niche Bitcoin business. So I've been traveling my whole life. Ever since I got into national team, I was 11 years old. I was traveling throughout Europe and my visas constantly got rejected or canceled throughout my childhood. So I was like, wait a second, what's going on? Why is my passport so shitty? I need a visa everywhere. And I constantly get rejected for those. So that was another huge step towards realizing that not all the passports in the world are equal. And some people just need to change their passport just so they can live a freer life. They should be able to travel more, et cetera, et cetera. So that's basically what we do at Plan B Passport right now. We help Bitcoiners all over the world to up. So, yeah.
And I'm Jessica. I'm the COO of Plan B Passport. And like Katie just said, we help Bitcoiners all around the world to obtain either a second citizenship or residency that fits them specifically. And how I got here was I was homeschooled growing up and basically red-pilled my entire life. Alex Jones was basically my politics teacher and history teacher. But my mom actually watched the episode where Max Kaiser was on Alex's show. And that's when he gave him the laptop with 10,000 Bitcoin. And this was still very early on. This was in like 2011. So she had no idea what she had just stumbled upon. But then a couple of years later, she came up to me and she's like, look, Jess, there's this freedom money called Bitcoin. It's going to change the world. It's going to change everybody's lives. Like, look into it. And I was like, my eyes completely opened to it. I completely saw it. And in 2021, she was like, you need to get on Twitter. Max and Stacy are on Twitter. And at the time, I was like, Twitter's so stupid. Why am I gonna go on Twitter? But because I basically had no friends who saw the world the same way I did with COVID and the forced vaccines and the travel restrictions and everything, I was like, all right, whatever. I'll go on Twitter and I'll start talking about how everything is so messed up and people need to open their eyes and see what's going on around them. And at Bitcoin 2021, I met a whole bunch of awesome people. Katie and I just happened to go to this dinner from this guy that we met randomly, and the rest is history.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I didn't realize that you guys got linked up from one of the conferences. That makes this even better. I love it. And thank you for giving the backstories. I always think it's interesting to hear how people come into, you know, the Bitcoin space. And I love what you guys are up to. I think that what I'd love to hear from both of you is, you know, and you kind of touched on this a little bit, Katie, but why do you feel like it's important, especially for Bitcoiners, to have a secondary or multiple sorts or citizenship in other places? I'd love to kind of just hear you break it down. And then also, as a follow-up with that, you know, is it easy? Is it hard? Like, break it down for us.
Absolutely. So I want to believe that, well, I want to believe that we are moving towards a freer world. I definitely see the government overreach taking place all over the world. And I want to believe that with what we do at Plan B Passport, we are moving towards a freer market for people shopping for better jurisdiction. That basically comes down to, does the government have monopoly over your life or not? Because if they do, there is nothing that stops them from providing a terrible service at terrible price, right? So citizenship by investment programs are the ones that we work with. They're basically per capitalism applied to government services. Remote work has also accelerated a lot. And on top of it, we already have borderless money with no central control, which is the biggest issue when it comes to strategic relocations. So as you can see, there are a lot of instruments in place, and others will still need to be developed and installed in place in order for government to actually realize they have a competition. And that's why I believe it's important on a big scale, on a big picture. Now, if we're talking about an individual, why is it important for every Bitcoiner or just every libertarian, freedom-minded person? Well, you already have distrust in your government. You're already willing to take some steps, such as taking your money out of, you know, terrible banks with fractional reserve. You're already preparing things in order to hedge against, you know, civil unrest, government overreach, et cetera, et cetera. So a Plan B passport or a second residency is just another step in order for you to prepare for such disasters. One of the things we talk a lot about in Bitcoin is 6102 event, right? So if 6102 was to be repeated with Bitcoin instead of gold, what are you all going to do? You have a U.S. passport. The U.S. government is one of the probably five governments that actually have their shit together in terms of coming after the citizens, which is not the best thing to have their shit together for us. So what are you going to do? What's your exit strategy for it? I often say, just find your way out. Make sure you have an exit strategy, an extra door to go through in case this takes a place. So yeah, that's why I think Bitcoiners must look into citizenship by investment programs or just in overall flat theory.
Yeah, and I want to add that at Plan B, we say forewarned is forearmed. And this basically means that if you're aware of what's ahead, you can be well prepared. And, you know, you won't always be prepared for everything because that's just unrealistic, but you can always prepare at least for a decent amount. And this is where all the strategic planning begins in order to achieve sovereignty in so many different ways. And this could be something that you've already experienced yourself, because being prepared is cool and it doesn't make you a weirdo like they make preppers out to be. But basically, you identify your attack vectors and how you can optimize to mitigate those. And if, like, say, for example, one of your attack vectors is somebody attacking you, you would want to learn how to defend yourself with or without a weapon. If it's a food shortage, you'd want to stock up on food and water. If it's inflation, you buy Bitcoin. If it's being stuck in your own country for you not making certain medical decisions, you get a second passport. So basically, we should all really apply all these aspects to our lives where we consider different attack vectors and we prepare.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, if you really think about it holistically, it makes sense all from every direction that you guys, you know, both just explained. So thank you for that. So I'm kind of curious, and I'm sure anybody listening might be curious too, you know, how, in a simple way, how do people actually go about obtaining, you know, a passport to another country? Like, maybe you could just in simple terms break it down for us.
Absolutely. So obviously, every country in the world has its own immigration policy. Some programs are based on skills, some programs are based on investment, and some programs like provide refugee status, et cetera, et cetera. Those are all pathways towards passport and citizenship in most countries. But the programs that we work with, that again, I mentioned, it's a pure capitalism applied to nation state services. Those programs called Citizenship by Investment Programs, or CBI. And basically, you don't have to leave your country. You don't have to visit your new country of the passport. It's all done remotely. It's all just a long paperwork process. The CBI programs have two options. It's either donation or investment into real estate or investment into bonds. Just the way it works, you first talk to us. We have a free consultation call on the website. And we strategize on what jurisdiction would be the best for you, specifically for you and your family. After that, we start preparing the case, all the paperwork that needs to be done. It's pretty extensive. The government that provides you with a passport wants to make sure that you're not a criminal, of course, who are the judges, but still, they want to do their due diligence to make sure they're not hurting their country by having you as a citizen. The paperwork takes about probably 45 days to collect on average. Then the due diligence process, depending on jurisdiction, takes about 3 to 8 months now. And just like that, you get a passport in the mail. Now, I mentioned donation or real estate and bonds investment. So when it comes to donation, we're talking about $100,000 to $150,000 for worth of donation for a single applicant or a family. And when we talk about real estate investment, it usually starts with $250,000 or $300,000 for bonds. And again, there will be some due diligence fees involved, government fees involved, but that's basically what we talk about. People usually like to hear the exact numbers. Like the cheapest option for a single applicant would be St. Lucia, and it's $135,000 all included, including the donation itself, government fees, due diligence fees, our fee, etc. And for family, it starts with $178,000, just to give everybody perspective.
Katie, kind of following up on, you know, citizenship by investment, what are some of the risks? I know you kind of alluded to it in the article, but what are some of the risks that have happened to countries that have done this method in the past?
Yeah, we just recently saw to a country that used to provide, well, still provides citizenship by investment program, it's just not popular anymore. Basically, they would let anybody in. I've heard of cases where people like, oh, you clearly have a legit criminal background. How about you pay $10,000 extra and we will overlook it. So I've seen cases like that. And other countries with whom Vanuatu had a treaty with, meaning that they had visa-free access to each other's country for its citizen, they basically said, we're not okay with that. We are going to close the visa-free access for your citizens, for anybody who got your passport starting 2017. So if a country launches a program which does not have a solid due diligence process, other countries will recognize it quite quickly and will just cut the relationship. And that's how you lose the power of your passport, because visa-free access is a pretty big one. So that's one thing that can happen to those countries launching CBI. So they got to be careful with their operations and due diligence. Now, other countries like Portugal and Cyprus, we've also seen them playing a big role in citizenship by investment or residency by investment programs, but they are part of the EU, meaning that they don't have capacity to make their own decisions. They're not sovereign nations in a way. They're part of the EU, and EU likes to dictate its countries on what they can or cannot do. So Cyprus had to shut down their program a few years back. Portugal is changing their policies now. So again, that's something, it's all geopolitics. You need to understand, follow the money, right? Follow the power, and understand who actually makes the calls and makes the decisions, and how we can mitigate those as well, because I don't like to be told what to do by my government, but if my government is also being told what to do, that's getting ridiculous.
My fellow plebs, come celebrate Bitcoin Winter in Miami at Bitcoin 2023. The largest Bitcoin conference in the world returns to Miami from Miami 18th to the 20th. Head on over to b.tc/conference to get your tickets today. Use promo code BMLive to get 10% off your tickets before prices go up. Plebs, if you're like me and want to gain a deeper understanding of what's going on within the Bitcoin market and broader macro environment, then you need to subscribe to Bitcoin Magazine Pro today. There's a free and a paid version of this daily newsletter where our market analysts Dylan LeClaire, Dr. Jeff Ross, and Sam Rule break down what's going on in the market so you don't have to. Subscribe today at BitcoinMagazinePro.com. As 2023 begins, the broke issue stares head-on into the looming realities of a broken economy, a more broke central bank, and considers how Bitcoiners can share their knowledge, their projects, and their mentalities to remain strong economic nodes throughout the winter. As a global Bitcoin news medium with a mission to accelerate hyper-Bitcoinization, Bitcoin Magazine is for all Bitcoiners, the curious, convicted, and the maximalists. Inside Bitcoin Magazine, you will find exclusive interviews and profiles with leading Bitcoiners, actionable insights on the state of the market, breaking news and cultural trends, and powerful photos and artwork from the best artists in the world. Each issue will be shipped safely in a secure box mailer to protect the integrity of each copy. Print magazines, not money. Buy Bitcoin Magazine.
That was actually going to be one of my next questions is, you know, what are the countries that, you know, are most easily accessible, I guess, for programs like this? And where are you seeing Bitcoiners be most attracted to? I'm really curious to hear this because it seems to be like, it seems to be something that a lot of people are starting to entertain because of what we're seeing on the world stage. So I'd love to just hear a little more about, and you've mentioned a couple places, but what are the destinations that most people are interested in, especially Bitcoiners?
Absolutely. So Caribbean islands are still leading this citizenship by investment industry. We're talking about St. Kitts, probably everybody heard of St. Kitts, the most popular program in the world. It's followed by Antigua and Barbuda, St. Lucia, Dominica, and Grenada. So five islands in the Caribbean all have citizenship by investment programs that is pretty similar. Vanuatu used to be one of them as well. Now, those countries would be the leaders if we're talking about Plan B passport or a second citizenship. Not as many people actually relocate to those islands. That's more of an insurance policy. Now, if we're talking about relocations and where Bitcoiners are physically moving, right now I feel like Latin America is really leading the way. I don't know if it's, like, I feel like it was the case even before El Salvador becoming a Bitcoin nation. We've seen people moving down to Mexico, Costa Rica a lot lately. And that's probably just the lifestyle, the ability to work remotely. And now you're not choosing what country can provide you with the best salary. You're choosing, where can I get the best food? Where can I have beach and sun all year long? So Bitcoiners definitely loving those destinations. Mexico, Costa Rica.
Yeah, and obviously Bitcoiners are going to go to places that value and preserve freedom the most. Surprisingly enough, Mexico was one of the freest countries during COVID. Katie would know because she lived there during that time, which is so interesting because you would think, like, you know, a place like the U.S. that was founded upon freedom and principles, you had so many places, different states that were completely locked down, yet you have Mexico that was actually one of the freest places in the world. So it's really interesting to see how different places change over time.
It's so fascinating. And thank you so much for sharing all this information. I just think it's so interesting to hear about this. And I don't necessarily know that people know about this, that this is even an option or something that they can and should consider. So I want to talk about your recent article, Katie, that you wrote for Bitcoin Magazine about, and we've posted it up in the Nest, about kind of a case on why El Salvador has an opportunity now to create a citizenship by investment program that actually garnered the attention of President Bukele. So maybe give us a little rundown of the article for anybody who hasn't read it yet. Again, it is pinned up in the nest, but give us the rundown about this. I feel like it's kind of maybe been a crazy week for you.
Oh, absolutely. So we all heard, I was a Bitcoin conference when we all heard the Bitcoin becoming a legal tender and El Salvador announcement. And the next week I got back home and I just started calling El Salvador immigration unit constantly trying to figure out how can people move down there, because, you know, that's what I do. In my broken Spanish, I was trying to tell them about this Bitcoin thing that's becoming money, and they had no idea what I was talking about at the moment, because, you know, it took time to spread the word, and that was just the first announcement, so nobody was aware of that. So, but I got excited right away. I realized that unlike most existing CBI programs, El Salvador can become not just a plan B options for investors, but actually the relocation destination because of what they did with Bitcoin. And we're seeing it now. A lot of people on Twitter tell about their experience moving to El Salvador. So I kept talking about it, wouldn't shut up. And I just started putting out small pieces on like why I think El Salvador should launch a program. I also ran a big poll throughout my audience on email campaigns asking how they want to see the Citizenship by Investment program of El Salvador to be implemented. What they want it to look like, what are they willing to pay in, do they prefer a donation or real estate investment or a volcano bond investment. Basically, I try to collect as much data to understand what is the exact product that Bitcoiners. And at this point, I feel like I had enough knowledge to actually put together a long read that actually, as you mentioned, got attention of the president. The article basically talks about how El Salvador can launch citizenship by investment program, what obstacles they can meet on their way, how it's going to benefit them financially. And again, I just tried to collect, obviously it's a prediction game, but I was collecting information from Caribbean islands. I was comparing the power of the passport of El Salvador with the most powerful passport of the Caribbean, as well as, you know, trying to understand other decision-making points like, is it the island or is it the mainland? Basically trying to predict what kind of interest will El Salvador see if they were to launch citizenship by investment program. And I think, I mean, I thought it would be launched by now. Ever since volcano bonds came out, they actually did mention something like 3 BTC for residency. It never took place. No immigration policy that is on Bitcoin standard currently is in place in El Salvador. And I really want to change it. And I don't want it to be a residency program because that's not what Bitcoiners want. That won't benefit El Salvador as much. So I want to make sure that I talk about it as loud as I can and provide as much data to both Bitcoiners and El Salvador government in order for them to launch that program.
Hi, Katie. It's Anna. I've been hiding behind the Bitcoin conference handle. I have never met you, but I'm a huge fan. Anyway, so I have a question. So let's say El Salvador launches that program. What are the benefits El Salvadoran passport can give you? Like, will you still require to get a visa to go to certain countries? Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Hey, Anna. Hi. Nice to meet you. Hope to see you at the conference this
Absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely.
So El Salvador passport is actually pretty powerful. They provide you with over 150 countries visa-free or visa on arrival, meaning that you can go to EU, most of East Europe, all of Latin America visa-free. And again, in the United States, people are kind of used to the fact that they travel visa-free. But here you go. You can't go to El Salvador without visa. Isn't that interesting? So there are countries in the world that will require you a visa to travel, but 150 countries is a pretty powerful, pretty big list. So that's great. Now, on top of it, obviously, having Bitcoin as a legal tender is huge. And that's what will attract a lot of people. If we're trying to make the case of why the El Salvador program would be attractive as well, the program itself, not the passport, I see a lot of roadblocks on the way of investors actually going with CBI programs. The roadblocks include something like, I can't pay with Bitcoin. I can't use Bitcoin as source of funds or proof of funds. Like, for example, we all know how you can prove the ownership of your Bitcoin. You can just sign the message. I tried to explain it to the CBI authorities in the Caribbean. That's just not possible because they do not think on the Bitcoin standard by any means. But for El Salvador government, that's what they think. That's what they operate like these days. They're pretty knowledgeable on Bitcoin and how it works. So that would be much easier to implement. They already have a lot of infrastructure in place. So that would be huge. It's also a country in Latin America, which, you know, great weather all year long. They do have access to the ocean. They're inland, meaning that they're not an island, which is what scares a lot of investors with CBIs. They're in the Caribbean, the natural disaster hitting them all the time. They're a small island that is easy to attack from all sides. So El Salvador doesn't have that problem. And what else did I want to mention in this regard? Oh, and then, of course, their political stance. When you choosing a Plan B passport, you have to look at the geopolitics and realize who are the friends and who are the enemies of this new nation. So as somebody who is coming from Western world, or like, let's say Fi-Fi countries, United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, UK, you want to make sure that the jurisdiction in which you obtain a Plan B passport took a stance against Western world and doesn't fall into the whole WEF agenda. And El Salvador is perfectly positioned for that.
Yeah, Katie, Jessica, I have a follow-up to that. So I think it's a great point, and I think it just goes to show how early we still are in the Bitcoin journey, like the world as a whole. I think many people don't know, even, I wouldn't say prominent Bitcoiners, but many Bitcoiners might not realize that you can use your private keys to sign a message like you were alluding to. And definitely when you're talking to immigration, they're like, wait, what do you mean? It's money. I can sign a message. I have no idea what you're talking about. But what about like using a company like Hoseki? I know that maybe more of the hardcore Bitcoiners are like, I don't want to reveal how much Bitcoin I have or such, but maybe for a country like a company like Hoseki, where you prove the balance by basically doing exactly what you're saying, they lead you through the process, and then they kind of give you a printout saying like, hey, like this is the verified, like how much Bitcoin you have, how much it's worth in whatever fiat currency you want to denominate in. And it's something that they said they've seen great success with working with banks, particularly if people are trying to get loans. They're rich in Bitcoin terms, but they're poor in fiat or cash terms. And it's kind of like a document that maybe banks or nation states or whatever may see as more of a quote unquote official document saying, oh, there's this company. They're basically ensuring that the Bitcoin's there and it's at a certain value. And then they're more prominent to give out loans or, you know, investments or whatever it may be. What are your thoughts on that? I'll kick it over to either Jessica or Katie for you guys to take.
Yeah, absolutely. Hoseki is amazing. And I think the biggest perk is that they actually make it look like a traditional bank statement. It's very clean. It's very easy to read. It's much easier to explain to a Caribbean island, hey, look at this statement, quote unquote, rather than look at this signed message. So definitely very easy to read, very easy to interpret. So I think Hoseki's amazing.
Yeah, we were actually their beta testers before they actually open up the website and the platform for everybody else. So we jumped on it as soon as we saw it.
I have another question, you guys. Obviously, this process of getting a second passport is really expensive. And I love how Chris said it, you know, Bitcoiners are rich in Bitcoin, but poor in fiat, and nobody wants to sell their Bitcoin. So is there any other options besides getting a second passport? Like, are there any loopholes that you would look for someone? For example, I have a family in Russia still, right? And things have gotten worse, even though on the political front, you know, it's, I feel like it's better for Russia, but for the people that live inside the country, it's definitely sounds like it's not great. So my family is looking to possibly get a second passport. So, but probably can't afford $130,000 to $200,000 investment. So are there any loopholes?
So there are other programs that will lead anybody to a citizenship or a passport. Most of them take way more time, but way less investment. So the other routes that you can take is look into your ancestry line. And basically, the basically all of the countries in the world have something like that, where it's like if your grandpa was born here, you might be able to get a passport, a citizenship here too. But in order to do that, you actually need to have ancestors in those countries, as well as a lot of time on your hands. A lot of programs are way cheaper. They just residency programs, not passport programs. A residency will allow you to live in a country, sometimes work in a country, open bank accounts. You will mostly feel like a local citizen, but you won't have a citizenship and passport. So it won't be a travel document, but it will provide you with an opportunity to live in a country full time. And I'm absolutely on the same page as you. My family still lives in Siberia. They also consider getting out as soon as they can. And we're, you know, preparing ourselves, preparing the family, and in order to basically execute it. So definitely understand.
You can also have a baby in another country if you're interested in that route. In Brazil, you can have a baby. Your baby will get citizenship, and then you can apply for citizenship a year later. And those are called anchor babies, which is pretty cool.
Let's make babies.
I was going to say, I feel like I saw somebody, I can't remember her name, posting about this when your article was going a bit viral there, the El Salvador article. I have, maybe it's kind of a silly question, but I imagine anybody listening might also. So when people do these citizenship by investment programs and they obtain a citizenship in another country, does that mean, like, let's say I obtain a citizenship in Portugal, do I have to then give up my citizenship in the United States? Do people operate with multiple, I mean, I know you can get multiple passports, but like, how does that work? Can you have multiple citizenships, I guess, is my question.
So there are countries in the world that prevent people from having dual citizenship. The good example would be Netherlands, India. They all have exceptions, but if you just go with citizenship by investment program, they won't recognize it. It won't be qualified for an exception, and you will have to give up your home country citizenship. Now, with the U.S., we know that's a land of immigrants, so everybody almost holds two passports here, their home country passport and their U.S. papers. So United States recognizes dual citizenship. You can have triple, quadruple citizenship too, so that's pretty great. And again, 98% of countries in the world recognize dual citizenship and have no problem with that.
Very cool. Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I wasn't sure. So circling back to this, you know, article that you wrote, and you got the attention of the president in El Salvador, I'm curious to hear, has there been any follow-up discussions? Have you talked to anybody at his office? I'm just kind of curious. It seems like it got his attention because you laid out the case so well. I'm kind of just wondering, you know, do you think El Salvador might be open to something like this? Or, you know, what steps do they need to take to get something like this implemented?
Yeah, so I was able to chit-chat with local authorities back in the day. It was probably a year and a half ago now, a little less than that, to kind of initiate the talk about it. And I was expecting them to just, you know, take it from me and start developing the program. Lately, I realized that it's not really currently in place. Like, I was expecting them to launch it somewhere around now. That's not happening. So Jessica and I decided to double down on that and basically open source the citizenship by investment program preparation. Like, Jessica and I already jumped on it. We basically wrote a bill on how El Salvador can pass the citizenship by investment program and install it in place. We're doing the both the legal side of thing as well as viewing the operations and what would be how do you say this? Jeez, sometimes I don't speak English, I guess. We're basically trying to outline we're basically trying to outline the operations of the program as well, to make sure that, again, they don't run into those issues I mentioned previously with other countries and the due diligence problems. We also want to make sure they don't end up in the case where Grenada and St. Kitts are right now, being absolutely backlogged, not meeting the deadlines they promised to their applicants. We're talking about, like, instead of 4 months, they take 8 to 12 months for due diligence sometimes. We want to make sure that doesn't happen. So again, we have the expertise in citizenship by investment industry. we understand Bitcoin and Bitcoiners like no other CBI company. So I think we're perfectly positioned in order to outline this program in its absolutely perfect form. And, you know, who else is going to say it about me if not me, right?
And the benefit is, you know, we're Bitcoiners ourselves. We know what Bitcoiners want. We know what Bitcoiners prioritize. And we feel like we're in the best position to deliver it for them. Bitcoiners make up the majority of our clients. So it's our expertise and it's what we do on a daily basis. So we'll see how this bill turns out.
I have a follow-up to that comment, Jessica. So have you seen, obviously you just said that the majority of your clients are Bitcoiners, which I'm sure you guys are happy about. But when non-Bitcoiners come to you guys, do they kind of see Bitcoin as an opportunity, or do you guys like orange pill them through the process of, I'm sure you're dealing with money transfers and wires for this, and you're like, hey, this would be a lot easier if you just get some Bitcoin and send it to us and, you know, walk them through the process? Or what has it been like for your non-Bitcoin clients in, you know, 2020 to present with how crazy the world's gotten? Do they kind of see or more open to it now?
Yeah, I would say they're definitely opening their eyes to the opportunity that Bitcoin provides, plus seeing the way the world is going. I think that the timeline is kind of quickening, and it's just easy to see that, you know, Bitcoin is permissionless money that we've never experienced before. So yeah, definitely people are more receptive of listening to it.
I have a question. So I know some Bitcoiners and just conservative friends who are obviously witnessing America losing its values and standards in many ways, and they just straight up want to give up their citizenship, right? So what is your opinion on that? Is that kind of a crazy thing? Like, what's the difference between, you know, obviously having dual citizenship versus, you know, single citizenship in a country that has better political stance and your passport gives you better access to traveling and just freedom?
Yeah, I've only seen people to ever give up two citizenship. It's American citizenship and Russian citizenship. Russian for the sake of separating themselves from the current politics and just not being part of it by any means. And giving up American citizenship, well, America actually incentivizes it. There are only two countries in the whole world that have citizenship-based taxation, meaning that no matter where you live or where you hold passports from, you always have to file with Uncle Sam. So in order to get out of that, people are willing to give up their citizenship and all the perks that come with American passport just because they're not willing to support American government. They're not willing to support the ideas that America spreads throughout the world. So with Canada, for example, as a Canadian citizen who decided that the taxes are crazy, the government is crazy, I want to get the fuck out of there, you obtain a second citizenship, you become a non-tax resident of Canada, which is quite easy to accomplish. And then you just get out and never look back. With United States, if you did just the same, you would still have to pay capital gains taxes on the assets you acquired before. You will still have to file with Uncle Sam, probably still pay some income tax. So yeah, that's why a lot of people actually consider giving up their citizenship. And a lot of our clients do. They first go with the process with us, then we recommend them the person who manages the renunciation of U.S. citizenship, and they do that after that, after our processing.
How crazy that you've only witnessed like people giving up citizenship from two countries, and the fact that it's Russia and the U.S., like just that fact alone is mind-blowing. But does the U.S. make it super hard to give up citizenship? Like, do they check like if you're giving it up for exactly the purpose of not paying taxes?
Yeah, you actually can't tell them that it's because of taxes,
obviously. But yeah, obviously reasons. But do they make it like, is there like a process where they like actually check like the due diligence of like, okay, why is this person trying to give up their citizenship, you know?
So it became impossible during COVID to renounce U.S. citizenship. Absolutely impossible. All the embassies in the world would be shut down because of COVID. When they open up the services in those embassies, they open up all the services except for renunciation. So we were hunting down appointments in whatever embassy is willing to provide that. And our clients would have to like fly to Brazil in order to do that, or fly somewhere in Europe in order to do that. So that was a crazy challenge. Now it's getting much easier. You can renounce US citizenship in a matter of 1-2 months. But you got to be ready. They're going to go over and audit the last 5 years of your taxes to make sure that you're in good standing there. You will have to provide them with a different reasons why you're renouncing a US citizenship. So, yeah, just be ready for those. And, of course, we are always happy to talk about it. So reach out to us. We are happy to at least give you the direction in which you need to look into before renouncing.
And I guess just the follow-up question. So what are some valid reasons that get approved by the government that people put on their application why they're giving up their citizenship?
Just saying that you're not feeling aligned with current politics is fine. That's something they will recognize.
This is mind-blowing. I really can't believe. I mean, I knew that the embassies, they kind of operate on their own schedule. But the fact that, COVID, like, isn't it an interesting thing? Like, I get it that places were closed, like, no, you know, keep 6 feet, whatever. We won't go down that rabbit hole. But the fact that it was, like, the hardest thing to do during the time where most people probably wanted to be like, okay, I got to get out.
I partially think those... Oh. Yeah, go for it.
Plus, if you look at the numbers of people renouncing compared to 2008 to now, the amount of people renouncing has exponentially increased. Obviously, it's still really small in comparison to, you know, 300 million of the population, but still, it's definitely exponentially increased.
This is all so fascinating. I can see now, hearing a little bit more from you guys, why Bitcoiners love this sort of option to be able to do this, because it really is, you know, you making the choice of where you feel most aligned living for multiple reasons. And so I'm mind blown about all of this. And I feel like a lot of people, again, I don't think a lot of people realize that these are options for them, you know? So I just thank you guys so much for joining us and explaining all of this. Just in case you guys don't know, both Katie and Jessica will be at the Bitcoin conference next month. We're going to be in Miami, May 18th through the 20th. Would love to invite anybody listening down there to see us. You can check it out at b.tc/conference. We are getting up to the top of the hour. So I wanted to ask just like a little fun question, because I'm actually curious. I know both of you are very well traveled. I would love to hear both where your favorite place is to travel, or your favorite place that you've been. And then also maybe the place that you feel offers the most freedom for obtaining a Plan B passport. I'd love to hear from both of you on both of those.
Yeah, so growing up, being homeschooled had a lot of its perks, being that we could take trips wherever we wanted. I've been to Canada multiple times, all around the U.S., Europe a couple times, Latin America a couple times. Probably one of my most favorite places in the world. Ugh, this is going to be awful. Probably Lake Tahoe, just because I was there recently. But a place that offers the most freedom... Honestly, like, just because of my situation as of right now, Texas and Florida offer me the most freedom. I'm able to be near my family. I'm able to be with my best friend and business partner. You know, that can always change, and that's why you have exit strategies and Plan Bs. But yeah, as of right now, those are the two places that offer me the most freedom.
Hey, Florida in the house. I'm in Florida too. I get it.
Miami.
Yeah. And what about you, Katie?
So, as Jessica mentioned earlier, I rode the COVID wave in Mexico, and this city just still in my heart and has a very special place in my heart, city called Guadalajara. You'll be surprised. I actually wasn't by the ocean in Mexico. I was in the mountains, 5 hours drive from the ocean. But I absolutely love this city. I had a very special vibe. And throughout COVID, it just proved to me that how the locals are actually either enforcing the laws or rejecting the laws. So the state in which Guadalajara is positioned actually went pretty crazy with COVID restrictions on paper, but nobody would be able to enforce it and nobody followed through with those policies. So that was another, you know, just a highlight of how the power of individuals joining together is much higher than the power of the government. Despite their monopoly on violence, they're still a little limited in what they can do. So yeah, Guadalajara is one of the special places in my heart. Now, if we're talking about the most amount of freedom, again, this highly customized strategic planning that needs to be involved in order to recognize the best jurisdictions for you. One thing that I want to mention, it's almost ridiculous how those governments that don't have their shit together and having their country falling apart are almost the best countries for those people who have their shit together. So as somebody who, let's say, making money in US dollars, saving them in the best asset in the world, which is Bitcoin, you can move to those countries that don't have their shit together and live so prosperously, absolutely loving your life. Like, we've seen people moving to Lebanon, which is, you know, we know what's happening currently in Lebanon with hyperinflation, but Bitcoiners are thriving. We've seen people moving to Argentina, again, hyperinflation, civil unrest, but having the Bitcoin, the asset that is like almost a beacon, like a such a solid fundament for your life, the rest will just build on top of it, and that will be beautiful. So Bitcoin is a cyberspace that provides you with the most amount of freedom.
I love it. Anna, Chris, I want to hear from you. I feel like, Anna, I know you've traveled a lot. Chris, I'm not sure, but I'm curious to hear from you of, you know, favorite place that you've been.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've actually traveled a decent amount to Europe and such. Probably Italy, family there, and kind of going back to my roots. I've been there a couple times and really love traveling there personally. And then I actually really loved London. I was there before COVID and everything, so I've heard it's kind of turned for the worse in the last couple of years, but those are probably my top two spots for me.
Definitely El Salvador. I have such a big, you know, my heart is just there, and it makes me, we've been to both of the Adopting Bitcoin conferences 2 years in a row, and even the second year going there, you could already see so much progress, like a new highway, bike lanes, like it was just, and every year is just going to get better and better. So I am ready. Like, as soon as my husband is ready, like, we are going there. But also, Katie, I wanted to comment on the fact that I love how you said that the countries that basically don't have their shit together are the best countries to move if you do have your shit together. It's almost like one of those things where not only are you going to get yourself in a better situation where you can thrive, but you can also affect and help the local, you know, the people, and just like kind of bring that dose of reality about Bitcoin and just what it means to save in sound money, and to the point where, like, even if you have, you know, if a country where you live has 100% plus inflation, like you're not affected by it at all. Like, that is mind blowing to me that you can not only do that, but also share that and orange pill other people by, you know, moving to those countries and, you know, helping them as well. So it's a beautiful thing. And people that do that, more power to them. I am comfortable in Miami. It's funny because I'm behind the conference handle. So, and the conference is taking place in Miami. So I love it here. I love DeSantis. So between here in El Salvador, I think I've picked my favorite places.
I gotta get to El Salvador. I haven't been yet. I feel like it's gonna have to happen. It's in, I think that one's in November, right?
Yes, November. I don't think, I'm not sure if they announced the, you know, Adopting Bitcoin, but it's always in November. So hopefully they'll do that this year.
Love it. Well, first stop Miami next month for the Bitcoin conference.
Yay.
And then, you know, we're going back to Amsterdam also in October for the conference. So that's going to be exciting. It's funny because Amsterdam, I have been to 4 times now, and it was at the top of my list, but I actually went to Paris after we did Amsterdam last year and absolutely loved Paris, not for the geopolitical reasons, especially not with what's going on right now, but just the city is beautiful. And I also love Mexico. I've been to Tulum a bunch, and that place is a pretty magical place. But I don't know, maybe El Salvador is going to top the list. We'll see. So I wanted to, you know, we're getting to the top of the hour, but Katie, Jessica, I wanted to ask you guys, what are you most excited about within the Bitcoin space right now? What do you feel like is the most exciting thing going on?
My tribe. The one thing that Bitcoin brought to me that has absolutely brought me a better money and better understanding of monetary policies, tech, etc. But what I did not expect is the tribe I would found through Bitcoin. And that's been an absolute blessing. I've recently became a mom, and that was absolutely important to me to find a sisterhood here in Austin. And through the Bitcoin meetups, we built an absolutely amazing group of friends. And, you know, they're Bitcoiners, so they operate on Bitcoin standard and Bitcoin values. So you don't have to clarify either you're on the same page politically, either you recognize each other's opinions on education, etc. You can just be yourself, be open, like open-hearted, and just be friends with those amazing people. So I'm highly excited about my tribe, my family. Thanks, Bitcoin, for my family, I guess.
Yeah, I'm bullish on Bitcoiners for sure. You know, just seeing more and more people opening their eyes to the empowerment tool that is Bitcoin. I feel like people don't realize that they actually don't have control over their own money. And that even though, you know, we're seeing some crazy shit happening around the world, that you can still make your life beautiful. It doesn't have to be just like what's surrounding you. And surrounding yourself with the right people and just preparing your life for how you want it to be. And Bitcoin basically just is the foundation that can just allow us to all flourish.
I love that. I think this conversation in particular has been such a great reminder that we do have options, and there are choices that you can make to, in a sense, design your life the way that you want to, including where you live and where you have citizenship and residency and all of that stuff. So Katie and Jessica, thank you so much for joining us this morning. This was such an eye-opening conversation. I really enjoyed getting to learn more about you and what Plan B Passport is and how it works. Anna, Chris, I don't know if you guys have any closing words or thoughts, but take us out.
Go ahead, Anna.
I just wanted to say, wow, Katie, Jessica, you are amazing individuals. What you're doing is really important. And thank you for, you know, the time that you're putting into helping people basically find their freedom, right? Like, it's a big statement, but once you learn about Bitcoin and go down the rabbit hole, you just realize that this is the freedom money. So what follows next is you have to find the freedom land. And so where you live doesn't necessarily match your stance on freedom, then you got to go. And you guys are helping people. So that's incredible. And also, Katie, it is absolutely about the tribe. We are so, so blessed to be able to tap into the Bitcoin community and build connections, build friendships. They're some of the smartest, most brilliant people that I've met through this journey of, you know, just becoming a Bitcoiner. So, and that's what the conference is all about, right? All of us getting together, meeting in person, because we have our favorite Twitter personalities, but guess where you get to meet them? At the Bitcoin conference right here in Miami. So I can't wait to see you all, meet you all, and give you a big hug.
Booyah.
Love that. Thank you so much for having us. This was wonderful.
Anna, you just got me so hype. I'm ready. Let's go tomorrow.
Let's go.
Forget the extra 2 days. Don't need that.
Yeah. Just kidding. I'm not quite ready, but I'm ready. Ready, but not ready. Chris. Anything you want to add before we sign off here?
Yeah, just my last word. Katie, Jessica, I echo what Carly and Anna said. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been a great conversation. And looking forward to seeing both of you guys on the news desk. So really looking forward to repeating what you guys did in Bitcoin Amsterdam. I think I remember hearing in some of your interviews, you really enjoyed that. So looking forward to putting you guys on the news desk again. And yeah, looking forward to seeing everyone else down at Miami, May 18th through the 20th. For the conference, you can use code GMBTC to save some sats on purchasing your tickets. And looking forward to seeing you guys all in 23 days. Thanks, everyone.
Can't wait.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
My fellow plebs, come celebrate Bitcoin Winter in Miami at Bitcoin 2023. The largest Bitcoin conference in the world returns to Miami from Miami 18th to the 20th. Head on over to b.tc/conference to get your tickets today. Use promo code BMLIVE to get 10% off your tickets before prices go up. Plebs, if you're like me and want to gain a deeper understanding of what's going on within the Bitcoin market and broader macro environment, then you need to subscribe to Bitcoin Magazine Pro today. There's a free and a paid version of this daily newsletter where our market analysts Dylan LeClaire, Dr. Jeff Ross, and Sam Rule break down what's going on in the market so you don't have to. Subscribe today at BitcoinMagazinePro.com.
As 2023 begins, the broke issue stares head-on into the looming realities of a broken economy, a more broke central bank, and considers how Bitcoiners can share their knowledge, their projects, and their mentalities to remain strong economic nodes throughout the winter. As a global Bitcoin news medium with a mission to accelerate hyper-Bitcoinization, Bitcoin Magazine is for all Bitcoiners, the curious, convicted, and the maximalists. Inside Bitcoin Magazine, you will find exclusive interviews and profiles with leading Bitcoiners, actionable insights on the state of the market, breaking news and cultural trends, and powerful photos and artwork from the best artists in the world. Each issue will be shipped safely in a secure box mailer to protect the integrity of each copy. Print magazines, not money. Buy Bitcoin Magazine.